A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Before I get into this week's episode of Sexy Unique Podcast, I have a couple announcements. Number one, there is a store for this podcast that sells pretty incredible merch. It's called Sexy Unique Store, and you can check it out at sexyuniquestore.com. And I am pleased to announce that the best-selling Vanderpump Rules is a Show for Geniuses stickers are officially back in stock. You can check those out along with Road to Sir posters, a very, very special homage to Lindsay Lohan, and more at sexyuniquestore.com. Also, a little reminder that this podcast is brought to you by my patrons on Patreon. You guys make it possible for me to talk about Vanderpump Rules, Lindsay Lohan's Beach House, and so much more on a weekly basis. And for that, I am forever grateful. If you've been a longtime fan of the pod, or if you're a new listener and you really, really want to support, here's how you can do it. Just go to patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast, and it is there that you will find all the details you need to become a supporter of SEP. For as little as a $1 per episode commitment, you will have access to over 60 bonus episodes, as well as season 1 and 2 recaps of Vanderpump Rules. That's so much content for so cheap. Honestly, it's a great deal. You should check it out. www.patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast for more details. And if you feel like becoming a supporter is out of your budget or you're simply not interested, you can help spread the word by rating this podcast 5 stars and leaving a glowing review. Plus, you can tell all your friends and family about it, and then you will still be supporting my dreams to loll about Vanderpump Rules for the rest of my life. All right. And now, without further ado, I give to you this week's episode of SUP. This is the Sexy Unique Podcast, an exploration of Vanderpump Rules.
Ain't nobody got me feeling like I'm feeling you.
And I'm your host, Lara Marie Shane Hall.
Yeah. Everybody freeze, put your hands up. We ain't about to take it easy, hope you cakes up. London with the beach, here we go so in. Come a girl with a friend, here we both win. Hotel
chill. Hi everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Sexy Unique Podcast. I'm here today with Helen Donahue.
Hello.
Hi. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, 100%. I'm so excited.
So excited. You reached out and it was like magical timing.
Yeah.
And then no. I'm always looking for people who are just like fully versed within the Vanderpump Rules universe.
I was surprised to see that Felix was. And super excited when he shared that. I was like, okay, like I can do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyone, awesome. If you're a pump head, you're listening and you need to be on the podcast, just reach out.
I'm also, it was so, I don't know if I relayed this to you over social media, but it was so ironic that you had Roxanne on your last pod. First of all, iconic, but also we're in the same Playboy. I did like a nude spread.
Oh my God.
Which I'm not allowed to like share the assets for yet. But why? She's also in the magazine.
Oh, is it not? Has the magazine not been published yet?
No, it's been out for like 2.5 months. They want to like activate our specific spread because it's like female journalists that are like.
Also sexy. Love
yeah,
that.
Yeah. It's basically like me like talking about how I'm trying to like change people or like young people's perspective of feminism,
mm-hmm.
which I am trying to do because I feel like it's like an alienating word for like Gen Z.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to like reel them in with like other things and like, I don't know.
I love. So I'm now just like going through that issue of Playboy and like singling out pump heads and getting them on the podcast.
Yeah. No, it was like incredible because she's in the same issue. I should have brought you one. I have two.
She has it. Okay. Yeah. You'll have to give it to me some other time. But I read her article. It was like it's all brilliant. About her clapping back on Twitter and stuff. Yeah.
No, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
And, they did this with me. They did a project with myself and 5 other Playboy journalists, which seems like a bit self-aggrandizing for mm-hmm. Playboy to be like, oh, like female journalists are like feminists too, but like only ours. But the like idea behind it was that you can be, which is kind of like a no duh for me, but like you can be a feminist and still write for Playboy. But yeah. I guess for a lot of people that's like a far away concept.
I guess maybe, but like, I feel like, no, it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Cause I feel like now we're hearing more, like, I feel like Emily Ratajkowski or whatever is like, you can be a feminist, but like, still be hot.
Oh, yeah. I mean, do you remember her and Kim's mirror photo where they're like feminists? Like, the caption, what was the caption?
They were like feminist AF or something like that.
Yeah.
It was something very basic.
They're like huge titties in the mirror with like their tiny waist
and having like peace signs.
Yeah. Which is feminist. Yeah. Fuck.
So feminist. I love the idea that like when you say something like that, it's like groundbreaking. Like it never occurred to anyone that you can be hot and be a feminist at the same time.
That was what they kind of like asked me to write about. And I was like, that's really hard to write about because I feel like it's such.
But you're spreading the word.
I am.
Yeah. Maybe middle America needs to hear it the most.
Yeah, I don't know. My like title and like the feature is Feminist Firebrand, and I didn't choose it, but I think it's like kind of funny. I don't even really know what it means. Like,
neither, but it sounds firebrand. It would be good on the resume.
Should I Google it?
Yeah. How long have you been watching Vanderpump?
Since the first season. So okay. I've been watching since 2012.
So you've been in it.
Very in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite?
Honestly, my favorite is Stassi, and I mm-hmm. like her. I see a lot of myself in Stassi, which could be bad.
I think it's like I've come around on Stassi because it's been a real like love-hate relationship over the years.
Yeah.
She was like particularly monstrous in like seasons 1 and 2. Then she has her, like, she gets knocked down a couple pegs, like, season 3, 4.
Yeah, yeah.
And has to really crawl her way back up.
Yeah, and she now needs to build the trust back.
Yeah, and now we're watching her succeed. And she did that with Lisa. Succeed. Yeah, and I think is hard.
That's so hard because Kristen, as we saw in the last episode, is just, she's never going to be able to do it.
No, Kristen will never be truly
she's
in the
She's not
fold.
Respected.
No.
I think Stassi's really smart. I don't mm-hmm. think that the show has ever given her credit for being as smart as she is. She's really smart. She knows exactly what her audience wants.
Yeah.
And
she's been able to like build a very sustainable brand and business outside of anything to do with. Every once in a while listen to it bonus episodes and like roast it because I'm just like, this is like inane, the most like inane conversation, especially when like the other witches of WeHo are on and they just like are talking about God knows what.
Yeah.
But like, I definitely listened to her like anti-Me Too episode. Did you hear that?
Yes. I go on like long walks and listen to her podcast where it's just like, it's really easy to, it's almost meditative because she talks about nothing.
Yeah.
She's literally talking about like her day and like Beau and like how sweet he is. And then she'll like eventually have like an ex of like Jax's on as like her guest.
She keeps it also really just within her own universe. Like, she's not really trying to expand out with, like, interesting guests. So I feel like,
it's,
like...
Yeah, it's all her friends.
It's just, like, Rachel O'Brien.
Yeah. Or yeah. It's people that, like, she... For her, they're, like, a really big... I remember this one girl. I totally forget. I think her name is also Sheena.
Is there another Sheena in the mix? I feel like there might be.
There is, and I think they're friends and that she's like a wellness hoe. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And whenever she was on the podcast, I listened to it, and then I was like, oh, like this, she like must really be someone. And I went to like her Instagram, and she had like no, and I was like, no, this is like someone that Stassi just like,
it's like, it's just like in her crew. Yeah. Cause like, I have another podcast where it's just like me and my friends, but it's very similar where it's just like, sometimes I'll go outside of like the friend group to like book someone, like a psychic or something. Yeah. But mostly I'm just like, I just want to loll with like people I know.
I kind of like that. And I think that a lot of people are relating to it.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about Stassi's podcast that I can't get over is that she calls her fans her Khaleesi's.
That actually sends like shivers down my spine. Like, I had just a mini seizure right now.
I just like, I wonder like, how does she relate to like, how is she relating herself to Game of Thrones, first of all, at all, but also to like, I don't watch it anymore.
I don't watch it. Like, it's one of those shows that like, I missed it kind of when it was coming up as like a popular show, and then now there's just too much of it, so I feel like it's like, my time is precious, and if I'm gonna devote to like an hour long drama, it's gonna be Sopranos.
Yeah.
Like, I don't I have no bandwidth for like fantasy.
No, and I think that the thing that actually like popped off with Game of Thrones was the amount of sex, and they tuned it down, and so I'm just like, they got to the dragons.
If a brother and sister aren't fucking, count me out.
Why would we watch it? But Stassi, like her, I just like, do you think that you're,
does she think Daenerys? She's Daenerys? Like, cause they're both blonde?
I think so. I think that that's the connection. I think that Stassi also sees her as like this very like powerful, aggressive woman, which I think she could be if she utilized her intelligence. I'm waiting for her book about like basic bitch.
I can't wait to read that book.
I really want to get sent
a galley.
Yeah.
I don't want to buy it.
No.
But like, I do want to get like an advanced copy.
But I do think I could probably, we could both.
I'll buy it. Yeah, we can definitely request. I feel like I have so many questions. Like, I'm like, did she write this by herself? Did she have a ghostwriter? What do you think? Because you're a writer too. Like, you know the drill when it comes to like books.
I think she likely has a really good editor.
Yeah.
But even just like the scene from like, what was it? Was it one or two episodes ago
where she's just
like
Skyping?
Pretending to that like was maybe write?
So fake.
And what does Beau call? Beau's like, oh, you're like Stephen King's daughter. Like, there's like so far, like a man who's written like what, like 600 books. And then Stassi's just like sitting at a table in like a black dress and
like Skyping, which that's not like how it works, which I said on the podcast at the time. I was like, just FYI, as someone that's like written books and had to like talk to editors, like, I've never Skyped with them. And then you also don't like sit down and Skype and they're like, okay, so you have 3 months, like, hope you can make it, go. Yeah, like, no. It's not how it
I
works.
Mean, that's so unreal. I mean, I guess that begs the question of the ghostwriter part, because writing a book in 3 months is like not plausible for someone like Stassi.
Yeah, like I thought,
even though it is centered around like outfit of the day section.
Yeah, and like I feel like there's a chapter about like pugs and why they're in the hole, which I was like, okay, justice.
Wait,
for
does
pugs.
Does she
like,
have a pug or does Beau?
No, no one has a pug, but it was just like, I remember in the blurb for the book, like pugs were mentioned. Like, it was like, it's okay to like wine and pugs. And I was like, no one ever said it was not okay to like love a pug.
That is so funny. I can't wait to read it.
Like, it made me think that she had written like a huge chunk of the book in the proposal already. Like, a lot of sample material and like chapter outlines were already very much mapped out.
That is the best way to do it now.
Because then when you have like a very limited amount of time to write it, it's like, not, it's not like you're starting from just like ground zero trying to like write an entire book. Like most of it has probably been like on the page, or at least you know where you're going with this book.
Yeah.
But I'm actually excited for it.
Me too. I really want to read it. And also, if she had a ghostwriter, I'm jealous because I feel like that would be my favorite thing to do.
Yeah.
I would love to edit or write Stassi's book.
And she did write for Pandora's website.
Yeah.
Like long ago. And she did like write for her own website until it kind of changed from like a fashion blog just to like a general kind of celebrity website.
I think she's smart. Like I think she could write. She just doesn't. She's not around the right people to ever like execute her smarts.
Yeah. She's surrounded by dum-dums.
Yeah. And I don't think she's dumb. I've always thought she was like inherently smart and like knows how to like hold herself.
She's reality TV gold and like has been wanting this life for so long. And it's kind of amazing that it just finally all clicked into place for her. And she's like living out her destiny.
Yeah. I wonder how much money she makes.
I was wondering that last night because I was like, I think they make like true bank now.
I think so too.
Like the joke is fully on us because they're rich.
Yeah.
And I was like, got kind of depressed at one point last night. Like I couldn't sleep. And then one of the thoughts that like went through my head was like, everyone on Vanderpump Rules is rich. And then it really like threw me.
Who do you think is the least well off currently?
Probably. I think. Okay. I don't know. Did Brittany join? No, she's probably doing really well because her alliance with Jax and their relationship, and I'll bet they're getting a big payday for their wedding.
Yeah, and they did that.
Raquel is a day offshoot. Raquel's like a day player. I think. Like, I think she only gets paid by the hour for any sort of like talking head interviews she does. So she's like very.
But like, what else does she do?
What else can she do?
Yeah,
Raquel's someone that's like, I'm worried.
Her, I just like in my head, I can't get her saying the word scoops out of my head. You know what I'm talking about.
You do a really good
scoops
like of ice cream.
She speaks for someone that dumb. That's not mean. She's dumb.
She's dumb.
Yeah. For like, someone that dumb, she speaks like every word out. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's how you know someone is extra dumb, is if they have to like enunciate everything they say.
Yeah.
And also the sign of a total dummy is when you call them dumb and they get so upset about being called dumb. It's like,
because they know they're dumb. She cried. Yeah. She was like, I am dumb.
Yeah. And so then it's like, okay, well, the jig is up. You're dumb. James.
And he's just like, and then it cuts.
He's like, no, you're my world. You're my world, babe. You're my queen. He won't answer like that question. He just diverts and tells her like how gorgeous she is.
My favorite part was like the cut shot where it was clear they like put some sort of like hold before he could talk in there. And so it was just like 30 seconds of him just like staring at the wall, like wondering what to say. And you have to like wonder like what's going on. Like, was that actually how it happened? And she's, but it kind of seemed like it was because she was like kind of just staring and being like, are you going to answer?
Yeah. And then she has time to really wonder if she is dumb as well and like question
she is.
Her morality.
Her watching Winnie the Pooh like alone in like a classroom. It's heartbreaking. But at the same time, I'm like,
Raquel's struggle.
Such a struggle. Actually, one of like the talking points I wrote down was she said something that I could not get over. Hang on. You probably wrote it down too, or you at least know exactly what I'm talking about. Okay, whenever she got like very vindictive about his letter writing,
and
she goes, if you're gonna be friends with Lala, what am I gonna do? Just sit at home with Graham? And it just pans to the dog like laying on the floor, and it's like, what? Like, I like, James isn't asking you to like sit at home with like your apricot poodle.
No.
As like your only option in life. Unless he is. I feel like he is probably rather controlling.
He probably likes her. Like, I think he got her that apartment. Like, he was like, I'll get the apartment, babe. And you're just gorgeous. You get to hang out in here. And he pays for like stuff for her. Like, I went to a See You Next Tuesday and like really tried to like corner him and interact with him just to see what was going on. And then he revealed like he pays for all his parents' stuff. He pays for Raquel's like schooling and then like
schooling.
Schooling.
She's still in school.
I don't know. She needs to go to some sort of school.
She needs to go back to school. What was her, I think she revealed what her degree was in, but I forgot.
Kinesiology. Which means like she could be a chiropractor.
Physical therapist or a chiropractor. Would you let her crack your back?
No, I think that she doesn't have the strength.
She couldn't. Yeah, she couldn't.
Like, have you ever gone to a chiropractor that simply doesn't have the strength to handle
you?
Actually,
I just switched chiropractors because of that. Because I was like, you're not doing... And she would be like, oh, I think like your neck's just too tense to crack.
No.
And then I went to another one and he was just like...
Yeah, I went to one recently that just like could not manipulate my body in the way it and I was like,
they have to be fearless and very strong.
Yeah, there's one chiropractor who's also Paris Hilton's chiropractor that truly is the best one out there. He's a total like slick guy and he has an awful personality and will ask you like really uncomfortable questions about like your dating life as though he knows you.
New York City chiropractors like that.
Yeah, and then he like breaks your neck. And then you feel immediately better. And
that,
that's Dr. Tom.
A high that like I can't replace.
Yeah. He's the one. Like, and I was like, you know what? I'm sick of giving Dr. Tom my business. Like, I'm going to go to this other guy. And this other guy just like fucked me up more.
Can
and
you
so
give me
was,
Dr.
Like,
Tom's?
I'll give you Dr. Tom. I saw Paris Hilton in the waiting room once. Like,
that's worth it.
Yeah. We kind of talked about this offline, but this episode sucked.
It did. It sucked.
It was a filler episode.
Yeah. No drama.
Like, don't try and make me believe that there's any sort of high stakes with this Daily Mail party.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't even really show us, like, what happened there. It was more just, like, blurbs of, like, Lisa's, like, drunk. Which also, like, they cut away from, like, the same scene of her drinking once, like, four times. And I was like, so she drank one cocktail. Like, it's her drinking one pink cocktail.
But she was drunk. Like, yeah. There's a moment where you can just tell that she's, like, fully blackout, like, just smiling at nothing.
Yeah.
And I was like, Lisa deserves this, but also this is probably her blowing off a lot of steam because she's basically getting raked over the coals in Beverly Hills. And, like, isn't she going to be out of Beverly Hills now?
Yeah, I think that... When does that... That premieres, like, what, next week?
I think
And I think it's her... I know it's her last series, but I don't know if she leaves, like, midway through.
I'm also fascinated by her not going to Andy's baby shower.
I know.
That is like, you don't not go.
Yeah. That's like a bravo no.
Yeah. Like that is, she drew a line in the sand and like, she'll never be able to like bounce back from that.
Yeah. I was watching Watch What Happens Live last night, and my boyfriend made like a snide remark about like Andy being like, who does he think he is? And I was like, we don't talk about him like that.
You're like, I'll never have a terrible chill because he'll destroy you.
Yeah. He owns everyone.
Everyone.
He owns everyone. And once you fall out of favor, like you are out of favor. Even if he has you on his show.
He's just, like, that doesn't mean he likes you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to be in favor with him.
Like, I worry about the future of Vanderpump Rules because Lisa didn't go to his baby shower. Like, this is going to have consequences that we don't even understand yet that are going to play out, like, for the rest of our lives.
Let's not think about that. One funny thing from Watch What Happens Live is that Andy validated for Raquel that she looks like a young Connie Britton.
That's true.
I know. I know. She was like, he was like, so who do you look like? And she was like... I guess it was, like, something that had come up.
Really good question to ask Raquel. Like, keep it really simple. Who do you look like?
So, like, what's... You know, like, it's, like, it's something that you ask people in middle school. You're like, so, like, what celebrity do you think you resemble most? It's like a Cosmo or, like, what was that magazine? Like, 17.
Or YM.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where it like, asks you questions like that where you, like, have to, like, decide which celebrity you are. And she was like, Connie Britton.
Yeah, someone had posted in the Sup Facebook group that, like, they posted, like, a side-by-side, and it was shocking how similar they looked.
It's just also so offensive to Connie Britton.
Yeah.
As, like, a...
Connie doesn't deserve this.
No.
No.
She doesn't.
Who do you look like? That's really
who do
you good.
Look like?
You can't ask him anything else.
I caught, like, the tail end of it. So, I don't know. Did you watch it?
I didn't watch it. But
it was Billy James and Raquel. So, I feel like I should have tuned in.
What did Billy have to say?
I tail end of it, she said nothing.
Okay.
But she rarely has anything good to say.
Yeah, she's having a rough edit this season.
As she should. I don't think she's a good character.
I think like she, I think she has potential, but yeah. Like the girls' night stuff is misguided. Also misguided. Really weird that she made such a huge deal out of girls' night and then was nowhere to be found at girls' night 2.
Yeah.
Like, did she care about it that much? I guess not.
No.
Because she didn't deign to show her face.
Ugh, I found it very manipulative. And also the downside of social media is weaponizing it.
Yeah.
In the way that she did. Not that I think that anyone she was coming at is like a good person. I think Lala is actually kind of a good person.
I think Lala is, but Lala is also slowly, or not, maybe not even slowly, like just crossing over she's checking out, and she's also like buying into her own hype in a way that she hasn't done in the past. Like she's always kind of been like self-aware and been like making like blowjob for the PJ jokes, but then now it's like she's about to like bring these girls into her world that were literally 2 years ago slut shaming her and like shit talking her.
Yeah.
For her relationship.
It's night and day between then and now.
Lisa is really freaking out like at the beginning of the episode because the Daily Mail party is in 24 hours and they're trying to do some sort of countdown as though we give a shit about like
the Daily Mail party. Like, that no one heard about. I didn't hear about it until this episode.
I had heard about it because I was like really on deep Tom Tom watch as to like when the fuck it was going to open. And then I remember it was open for like one night for the Daily Mail party. So, which is okay. I feel like it's kind of a like a testament to how shady Lisa is about like all her business dealings, but like Daily Mail paid a big chunk of change just to like use this space. So like I feel like it's like Lisa needed that money to like make Tom Tom happen. Like it wasn't going to happen without that Daily Mail money.
Yeah, for sure. And they're loaded.
And so she's like, we don't have gas. We don't have toilets. Like, no bathroom, no lights, no gas in Tom Tom.
And they were just sweating.
And they're all sweating. Yeah. It's so hot in there.
And Lisa's wearing a shirt that says checkmate bitch on it. What was that? I tried to get like the writing underneath it.
That's really like mafia-esque.
It is. And it's also, I feel like, kind of anti her whole new vibe of like, I really care about women. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, what? You're just like suddenly wearing this like very aggressive shirt that just says checkmate bitch on it. Like, who was that to?
I feel like it's to her castmates on Beverly Hills.
I think so too, because it wasn't blurred out.
No.
Whereas like Tom Schwartz's shirt, of course he wore a graphic tee.
Yeah.
Which is like very much in his
Tom Schwartz's style in disgusting. This episode truly crossed a line. He needs to be like, I'm ready to make down. A citizen's arrest.
Yeah, I wrote it down. There was at one point he was wearing that raglan. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, with the little button, like
no,
the little metal button things. He wore a couple raglans, I think. Oh no, I'm thinking of maybe like James Kennedy's raglan.
He wore this like terrible raglan like panel shirt where the panel was like up here and then it was like maybe a navy blue and it was covered in floral but white underneath it.
Okay, yeah. I remember that.
Disgusting.
And then he wore like kind of matching shorts or something.
Yeah. I mean, it was horrifying.
It was really awful. He's unwell, right? Like what is there's something being completely unsaid and skimmed over because he looks bad. He looks unhealthy.
Do you read blind items?
Sometimes, yeah. There was one about like a heroin addict on a reality show or like a
opioids.
Drug addict. Yeah.
Yeah. That was, I think, about him. Everyone in the comments. I'm just like a horrifyingly obsessive blind item person.
Yeah.
When I'm sad, I like make my boyfriend read them to me out loud so he can like join in on
it's
it.
It's true love.
It is. It is. But there was one and everyone in the comments was like, this is Tom Schwartz, like 100%. And you always know with blind items, like when it's a specific person, when like 60 people
are like,
I know who this is.
But how do they know?
I don't know.
Is it just one person starts commenting and then the rest just like all pile on because it sounds like it makes sense?
Well, I think it was also corroborated by, are you a fan of Enty?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think there was another blind item that pointed to Tom Schwartz and Katie
okay.
on Crazy
Crazy Days and Nights. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cause I remember reading that blind item that was like, this star is like, the addiction goes beyond just alcohol and is like full blown. Like,
I believe it. When you look at him, he seems miles away.
He has circles, dark circles under his eyes. He's glassy.
Yeah.
He looks like just straight up.
He looks blue.
Yeah.
Like he looks like he's overdosing at any second. Mm-hmm. It's really concerning.
And no one's talking about it at all.
No one talked about it whenever he like wound up on like a random island.
Okay,
like,
so here's a theory that I read on Reddit last week that fascinated me, and I think that it's true. Someone posited that the reason that the cast made such a huge deal out of like James and Kristen potentially hooking up in Mexico was to deflect from the fact that Tom Schwartz like fucked some random girl at another hotel. So, because remember James, what happened with you and Kristen?
Such and he a goes, big deal.
We hung out. And then Tom Sandoval was like, you hooked up? Like literally took the wrong words out of his mouth and blew it up into a thing.
And then Jax was like, I saw the pillows in the hot tub. I know what that's for.
Yeah. And I think that the reason that it makes sense.
I've always
wondered.
And
then they all leaned into that so hard to just like take away from this like other thing that happened.
And I mean, the James and Kristen are the easiest targets on the show.
Yeah.
If you want to say they did anything, everyone will believe you.
Even though like you could have rewound the footage to see like if he was like, I didn't say that, and like there are producers there that could say like
that's
back him up on that
100%.
And it was so weird that they kept saying like this thing that he didn't ever say.
The weirdest thing is that in every situation where there has been cheating, where like it wouldn't matter, where it wasn't a married couple, I feel mm-hmm. like this was like the difference is like married couple, like marital cheating, every other time producers have been in on it.
Yeah.
Like why was no one there like recording this kind of like flirtatious like poolside
like
romp?
Yeah, there was no hot tub footage, there was no like early morning on the beach footage, and like
there's no footage of them even really speaking.
Yeah.
It was just like, if producers wanted to kind of like get that into your minds, they would have set it up.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the Vanderpump producers. They're really good at it.
Yeah. And a lot of the girls, like,
I mean,
went
they
on
had faith, like recording evidence of like Jax talking about Britney. It's kind of just like, why was there no evidence that they even spoke that night?
Yeah. And when like the cast went on Watch What Happens, like all the girls, I think Andy asked them again, like, did they hook up? And they were like, no, like they did not hook up like in Mexico, James and Kristen. Like we were just like out really early in the morning and then like went to bed.
I believe it.
But I think also, because remember when Katie, like Tom Schwartz cheated on her with that other girl that like looked like her and was calling her Bubba. And then she was just like zen about it and like not going to make a big deal. I feel like she's now gotten, because of the bad edit that she got in season 5, she has everyone like OG cast on her side to be like, we're not looking into this. We're not going to like put our relationship on blast anymore. Like we have to just like lock it up. And this is like the pact that we all have with each other.
I mean, I also think that since they got married, it's just more laying low for them. Like if something like big got out, it would actually be big.
Yeah.
Like it would lead to like divorce speculation and like what's going to happen to them next. And I've heard on like, I don't know what dumb site it was. It was probably like the Hollywood Reporter or something that she's been giving him like ultimatums for like babies and stuff like that. And so it's like if anything serious got out about him cheating, which like I don't think he's malicious. I think he's fucked up on drugs and alcohol.
Yeah.
And I think he's dumb as fuck.
I think that he's just like, he needs someone to be in the driver's seat of his life. Like he can't make any decisions. And so he's with a woman who is very like controlling over him because that's where he feels most comfortable.
Yeah.
But it's not the way to like let his true light shine. So that's why he turns to like substances and like, and he's also someone that like never has had any direction whatsoever and has failed upwards into this position of like now co-owning a restaurant.
I mean, unlike Sandoval, like Schwartz, it just seems like he barely knows what he's talking about.
Like he doesn't know
using buzzwords.
Yeah, He doesn't know anything that's going on and hasn't in years.
And he's so much more willing. Like yesterday when I saw him take a swig of like, what was it? Like tequila?
Mezcal.
Like, yeah.
Who does that?
Like as he's trying to prepare drinks and like Sandoval wouldn't is no. the difference. And like I have my own like qualms with Sandoval as like probably the corniest person on Vanderpump. But he's so professional when it comes to like his own cocktails.
Yeah, he's
and
a mixologist.
Schwartz is just kind of like, what am I doing? Like, what am I? Why am I here?
Yeah,
probably
he just goes
like,
through the motions. Yeah, he's like
preparation.
Coming off of like the worst hangover of his life, like jonesing for more pills, and then just like yes. trying to like get like through cleaning a toilet while like sweating and muttering to
I
himself.
Just like it's not a good sign whenever you're opening a business that's named after you and you're already like skimping alcohol for yourself and being like, I'm just gonna save this for later.
Yeah,
I was like, okay, this is a bad sign.
No,
as like Sandoval's like sweating, like pouring like different alcohols into like these big containers,
mm-hmm.
and he's just like drinking like tequila in the background.
I'm on like Schwartz watch, and I'm a Schwartz truther at this point, and I yeah. think that something dark-sided is afoot, and that's where I stand.
Yeah,
and same. I'm ready for the truth to come the fuck
same.
out. Jiggy, there's Jiggy has been like dead in every scene. It cuts to him.
Cut scene where it's the that was one of my talking points I wrote down. Like he's just like dead on like a picnic bench.
It's too hot for Jiggy
also, like,
to be outside
was
of the
that
house.
Filmed. It just like cut away to this like. It was like a very like dark interior wherever like Lisa's like freaking out and they're
yeah.
all freaking out. And then
I think it's
it
the
cuts.
Interior of Tom Tom, like where she just like plopped Jiggy down.
Yeah.
And then
and
he like passed
dead.
Out from a heat stroke.
I just like I genuinely believe this dog has been dead for years.
For years.
And it's just like Weekend with Bernie's. They did it again. They did it again like towards the end of the episode where
yeah.
they like once away, like once again, like cut away to a scene where this dog is just like laying down, like just not breathing.
Also, this period of time when they're filming, I remember when this like heat wave was happening and it was hot as fuck during the summer.
Dude,
like
you shouldn't have brought a dog.
Jiggy is not.
Lisa commented on it on Twitter.
What did she say?
I think that people were like
they were like yeah
like, calling like
animal protective
yeah,
services.
Hang on, she definitely made a comment. I'm pulling it up
because Jiggy also like I feel what did she say? It's like she his goes, alopecia makes him like colder.
This is the funniest tweet. She goes, by the way, .. Unfortunately, yes, Jiggy has a heart condition. As you will see, precious little man. Hashtag nurture.
Okay. That's just it.
That's it. And it's following. It was directly following the show airing. And so I was like, I feel like people have probably been like, is your dog okay? Like,
the answer is no.
That scene was like, it also was like a second. I was like, why would you, that's like some weird like advertising like cigarettes in like the 50s to like in commercials where they'd like pop up. And it's just like this weird like psychological mind fuck where you just see this dead dog on like a bench.
Yeah. They've been doing that this season because there was another so episode weird. Where she's like, what do you think, Jigsta? And he's just
oh, and
like,
he's ugh. Just like, yeah, he's yeah. just like like slooped over in her arms. I just like think he's been dead.
His days are numbered if he's not.
I don't know what's gonna happen to her when that dog dies because it's her personality.
Yeah,
that dog is her entire personality.
How though has Jiggy managed to outlive like three other of her dogs? Like, remember Pink Dog died and then there was like another dog that died. Like Jiggy is like the he's like they've done some voodoo shit to him.
I feel like they are so rich that they can manage to keep this dog alive, like, against its will.
Yeah.
How old is that dog?
I don't know.
However
but I think,
old, too old for the breed, for sure.
Yeah. And he probably has to get, like, IVs.
Yeah. Yeah. They're just keeping it alive at this point.
Yeah. Tom and Ariana are running errands, which was a big kind of, like, pass for me. Like, Tom, I don't care about...
Yeah.
I don't care
no,
about
so
the storyline.
That was the part where I was like, I'm not writing down anything for this. And then I saw on like the Vanderpump Gossip like Facebook group that someone was like, Ariana is so fucking funny. She cracks me up like talking about how she was like, we'll just burn it down. And
she's
I'm
like
that's
we'll
not
just let
funny.
Him, like, what did she say? She's like, I'll just let him like
he's
freak
like a toddler.
Out. And
yeah.
then like he comes around. Do you think that their relationship... What do you think about
fake,
their relationship?
Completely fucking fake. They have no sexual chemistry. I would be so surprised if they have sex. I mean, they had an entire season that was like dedicated to like them admitting they don't have sex.
Yeah.
And that they actually never really have. And she admitted that she was more comfortable having sex with him whenever she was trying to impress him.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like, I get. I genuinely get, like, the beginning of relationships when you're like, I love giving blowjobs. Mm-hmm. And now I'm like, are you fucking kidding? Like, you're I'm not like, doing that.
No, you need to, like, buy me dinner.
Blow yourself.
If
yeah.
We're going to do
get two of your ribs removed and blow yourself. Please. I'm not doing it. And like none, like that's just like not how relationships work. But in the beginning, you're just like, oh, I want to come off as like, you know, I've had a lot of issues with Ariana. Mm-hmm. I thought in, you know, at least like 5 seasons that she was too much of like a cool girl that was, you know, always hanging out with the guys, always disagreeing with the women, being really combative. I think she's grown a lot. But one of the aspects of that was that like, I think she cool girled her way into a relationship with Sandoval and now doesn't know how to.
How do they get out?
How does she get out of it? Because they're so good on paper together as like two like badass mixologists. By the way, like where's her book? That would have taken like probably 500 words to like fill an entire book of like.
Where is the book?
Simple cocktail recipes.
Yeah.
I would like it. Like I'd like
I would buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just like there's no sexual chemistry. I think it's really interesting that I think it's really fucked up that he outed her sexuality, basically.
But yeah.
I'm also really confused by that whole situation. I saw on the news that she had to like clear up publicly where I don't know where, like whether she did it through like Instagram stories. She had to like clear up that like she didn't cheat on Sandoval. She was trying to initiate a threesome, but it was also her idea.
Okay.
And so I don't know. Maybe she's confused about like her sexuality. I think I would like much rather like stan her and Lala than like her and Sandoval are just roommates. Like they're simply friends.
Yeah. They're tight friends who have like had sex a handful of times
and
like make each other laugh every once in a while.
She's like a cool girl. I think that she's really kind of gotten over her ego. I'd love to know like when she became such besties with Kristen, but I do think she's gotten over herself a lot.
Yeah.
I think where she should be like branching out a bit more.
I would love to see Ariana and Sandoval like amicably separate and then for her to like go full lesbian for a while because I think that she has that kind of chemistry.
Yeah,
like
we know she's gay.
Mm-hmm.
We know that she loves women. I think she'd be so much happier without.
And also I'm like
a man like Sandoval.
Why did Sandoval, I'm confused at why Sandoval didn't get in on like the threesome initiation.
I think also, that they have sex so little that he was probably like, why are you so down for this? But I know why she's so down for it. First of all, Lala is so hot. But
Lala's
also,
hot.
Yeah.
Also, I think Lala
I think Ariana is just a bit gayer than any of us expected.
Yeah. I think Lala and Randall were on a break at a certain point, like during the summer too, which is why, because I don't think Lala would like hook up
Never.
Outside of that relationship unless they were like having.
Had an agreement or something.
James is writing a letter to Randall, which I thought at first that he had spelled Randall's name wrong, but then I paused it and he had spelled it right. But it was like
that letter.
That
though,
letter, skipping like 3 lines. Like if you're going to write an apology letter, you need to do it like it needs to be line by line, like feel very formal.
100%.
That letter felt like you're not going to write this. Like, what is this plot point? You're scribbling down like this isn't like lyrics.
Yeah. The funniest thing I thought about the letter was his whole apology was basically like, hey, man, I'm not even going to do the British accent, but it was like, hey, man, I'm like really sorry if like anything that I maybe said about you offended you and like
not an apology.
You know, yeah. It was just like kind of skirting around just being like, hey, I'm really sorry. That's all you have to say. That
also,
is an apology. Like Google, I say this to so many people that just do not know how to make actual apologies or don't know what apologies are. Apologies aren't just like,
I'm sorry if you felt bad about what I said, or like, I'm sorry for like the way I handled the situation. It's like, no, just apologize for your actions. And then it's over.
Anything
and then
that
you've
puts,
apologized.
Yeah, anything that puts blame on the other person is a just really big non-apology.
And also, like, it's wild that it's like, James, you clearly don't want to apologize. Like, you, out of one side of your mouth, you're like, so I have to write this letter to Randall. And like, then in your talking heads moment, you're like, he is a fat man. He's fat. And it's like, okay, well then just don't apologize.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want this.
I think he just wants to get in everyone's good graces again. And he sees that through Lala, who has such a soft spot for him.
Mm-hmm.
And has fallen for it a few times, though I don't really think she is anymore.
I think they're done.
I think
their relationship is like fully run its course.
I think
which
so too.
Makes me very sad.
Yeah. They were great together.
They were so great. Yeah, they were iconic.
2016 was like an iconic year for both of them.
Yeah.
But then like Raquel like walking up to him and being like, so you're just like gonna be friends with Lala after she was mean to me.
Yeah.
And then tells him that she's like going to, I actually like didn't not understand his anger about that. I was like, okay, like that is like very odd. He can't like, you know, the thing is about James is that he's probably going to AA. I would be surprised if he isn't going.
You think he is?
I think so.
I don't think so. Because I don't think he understands, like, he's like, oh, I haven't drank for, like, 11 days. Or, like, he's like, no, mate, I'm not drinking right now. But, like, he then is mad that everyone else, like, later on, he's, like, mad that everyone else can drink and do whatever. But, like, he can't. Which is very, I think, classic, like, addiction.
It is, yeah.
Like, they talk about that a lot in, like, the program and stuff. But, like, also, I feel like he would, if he was, like, actually trying to go to AA and understand, like, the depths of his addiction and substance abuse problem, like...
Do you think he's going to therapy or anything like that? Because I know that the only reason that I would even suggest that he could be in AA is because Lisa is hell-bent on continuing to help him. And one of her biggest things is, like, you need help. Like, real help.
I think that, like,
and I think he'd even go just to get back into good graces with them. To be like, oh, no, I am taking this seriously. But I don't think that AA would ever be, like... Or therapy would be, like, a subplot for Vanderpump Rules. They just don't want you to see, like, what these people are talking about with their therapists.
But also, it's, like, the only glimpses of AA that we've truly ever had is with Laura Lee going to that, like, NA meeting. And that was, like, so dark. And then Shay's, like, addiction. But they don't really talk about addiction with, like, main cast members.
Yeah,
it always is,
not,
like, a side,
like, sexy
person.
Yeah. They should all be in AA.
Yeah. And also, if one of them goes, they all need to be, like, it shines a light on everyone. And I don't think anyone's ready to, like, accept the fact that they're all, like, functioning alcoholics.
Yeah.
To various degrees.
I also, like, obviously, I hope James stays sober, but I don't know how long it'll last. But I did kind of understand his frustration that, you know, like, I understood where he was like, oh, you're, like, going to hang out with Lala, but I can't apologize and get back into that crew, where it seems like Raquel is actually wanting to become more of that crew.
Yeah, I think Raquel will... She has ulterior motives because
she does.
I think she wants to be heavily featured on this show. And so
she should be. We need more of her.
She knows that if she's going to do that, she has to be friends with the girls.
Yeah.
Because otherwise they just shut you out and you don't get camera time. You don't get paid. And, like, that's the end of you. Which I think is what they kind of have tried to do to Billy Lee a little bit.
Yeah.
And, like, it unfortunately got lost in all the, like, girls' night transphobia, like, social media meltdown. But I think the biggest thing is they don't want new blood to come and, like, take their jobs. So it's in their best interest if they keep it really insular and keep people like Billy Lee and Raquel out of the mix. But Raquel is like...
Raquel wants to be in the
mix. Don't fuck someone on Vanderpump Rules if you don't desperately want to be on Vanderpump Rules.
I mean, at
Rules.
This point, he's cheated on her so many times and she's so aware of it. Did you see the post? It was like maybe over Christmas where she was like, James walked all the way to Madison Avenue with me. What an angel.
From where?
Like, I don't know, and I don't care. I feel like they were walking, like, they had to have been walking horizontally. It's not like they walked, like, from, like, Harlem to, like, Madison Avenue.
Yeah.
I'm just, like, maybe it was, like, I think it was Madison Avenue. I think that that's, like, a place where, like, she feels like she belongs with, like, mm-hmm. the Michael Kors stores.
Yeah.
But, like, it was the dumbest thing. And I was just like, this was also right after an episode about him cheating on her once again.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is this? Like, is this like a weird, like, I just, the way that she tries to like vindicate him through these like very bare minimum actions of like, he walked with me.
Yeah. She's like too kind of dumb to realize that that like only supports.
Yeah.
The whole theory.
And that's like not like cheating. Love. Like buying you like a toy poodle and like basically buying you anything does not make up for like the lack of emotional support that we all know that he gives her.
I need James to come like to go fully gay like next season, like break up with Raquel and then like be in a relationship with a man. Like lean. Everyone needs to lean into their like bi-ness.
Yeah.
I also need Kristen to like finally like break up with Carter. And like
maybe also be gay.
Yeah, be gay. Yeah. I think that that's where everyone should go next season.
I could see. What if she and Ariana? Could you see it?
I could maybe see that.
Because Ariana is kind of like a copy of Sandoval.
Yeah. And Kristen, I think that Kristen holds grudges for forever. And even if she says she's cool with Sandoval now, she'll like, she would always take an opportunity to like fuck up someone's life.
She would fuck Ariana in a heartbeat. Yeah. Didn't she? Okay. I think
she and Brittany.
Yeah. And Jax like relayed that on an episode a little while ago, acting like it wasn't really cheating, but also that it kind of was. Because didn't he walk in on it?
He walked in on it. And then I think he was
on them just like eating each other's pussies.
He claimed to be upset. Yeah.
He was upset. I think that he was like probably.
He thought that was like cheating. And then there was like a whole discussion that happened within like various groups or like viewers of the show that was like, is this cheating? Is this not? And that's a kind of an interesting point that Vanderpump brings up, which is like, is it cheating if you're hooking up with someone like a same-sex hookup while you're in a monogamous relationship with someone else?
I talked recently with my friend who's a pornographer about this subject, and we kind of concluded that men are so, first of all, like grossly masculine, but also like inherently internally misogynistic, mm-hmm. that they tend to overlook women cheating with other women because that's like a fantasy. So even if you're mad, it almost doesn't count to men. Whereas like Brittany cheated on Jax the same way that Jax cheated on Brittany, mm-hmm. yet it was like not dramatic.
Yeah.
No one talked about it. It was more of like a sensationalized point of the show.
But also, it was, I think, shot down really quick or never like confirmed as it happened because her family background is so conservative. Yeah. And like the pastor that's marrying them is like a known homophobe.
Like, I mean, people unearth his also, tweets. Like, must be. Wasn't her mom like kind of homophobic?
Yeah, I think so. And then her family had to do like a whole PR push like on social media to be like, love is love. Like, we love everyone. And like, and it's just like, no.
That's literally what like the Westbrook Baptist Church people say. They're like, oh, we make these signs because we love them.
So, yeah, I think that like, I think that Brittany has like unexplored sexuality that
for sure.
TBD,
where
if
else
that
would
will ever,
that?
If
so
that will
new
ever
here.
Come to light. Yeah.
But it's just really strange that the concept of like Ariana and Lala and then Brittany and Kristen is like hot or like overlooked. Whereas like when the men cheat, it's a whole season.
Yeah.
A whole season dedicated to just destroying them.
Yeah.
It's genuinely kind of odd.
It is odd. James tears up his letter and then Tom Schwartz comes over with that horrific outfit.
That was the shirt. That was the raglan.
Yeah. That was
disgusting.
The one
where
I was
floral,
like, what is wrong? You look like a Miami like drug addict.
He looked like he was trying to dress like Sandoval for a second.
He was.
And what was up with his hair? Like, that's when I was like, you're on opiates.
Yeah.
Like, his hair literally looked like he just like ran a hand of like grease through it and then like didn't care where it landed.
For me, it was like the dark circles and then that outfit. And I was just like, something is not right.
Yeah. Something
also,
is amiss.
Why are you coming over? Like, I don't love like the Toms getting like congratulated for all their like success with this restaurant when they've literally done nothing. Like,
yeah. And they didn't build
it. Like, Nick Elaine came in, built the whole thing, told them not to come until it was over because they're so annoying. They own 2.5% each, so a combined 5%. They, like, they made 3 cocktails on the cocktail menu. Like, they're just lucky to have been, like, put on the, like, have their names and picture in this, like, venue.
Oh, yeah. I mean, also, they're so unprofessional. I still think back to, like, last season whenever they both showed up just, like, 3 hours late and hungover to, like, a business meeting that was solidifying.
And when they went to Vegas to celebrate going to one business meeting.
Yeah.
And also, Lisa is sketchy. Her not, her being, like, it flashes to her and she's like, they're asking for like a deal memo, like to a contract. And she's like, I don't like anything in writing. Like, I want to just do a handshake. It's like, if anyone ever says that to you, that is a red flag. Run. Do not get in business with them.
I tell that to everyone. If you don't have a contract, you don't have a job.
Yeah. If you don't have a contract and if someone is dragging their feet, like, on getting you, like, a deal in writing, that means that they are a sketchy person. They're going to fuck you over.
Yeah. And for Lisa, it doesn't matter because without the term sheet, she could have at any point been like, oh, you've acted unprofessionally. You're out. And we still get to use your namesake.
Yeah.
Like, that was the whole goal.
And they could never even, like, even if they wanted to, they don't have the resources to, like, fight her in court. Also, no. They're not going to because the power structure of that show is like, okay, well, you want to turn on me, then you can be off the show forever.
Yeah, I would never work in their favor.
Yeah. And so she basically is like, we're watching her, like, screw them over and then them get congratulated for, like, all the work they've done. It's so backwards.
Yeah, they've done nothing.
They've done absolutely
nothing. They're just, like, working in, like, a large clock.
Also,
sometimes.
Yeah, like, a large clock that someone brought to my attention is backwards. Goes backwards.
For real?
Yeah. So when you're looking at it, you're supposed to, like, imagine that you're in the clock. Like, you're just, like, a cog in the machine. Like, we all are. It's so very poetic. Corny. And, like, Nick Elaine might be a genius after all for that move. But, like...
Like, why so many clocks? Is it the steampunk aesthetic of this?
It's the steampunk aesthetic. And I also just think, like, I'm a huge TomTom fan. So I feel like it's, like, just a reminder of the passage of time. And, like, all of our lives, like, time is just, like, ticking away.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all. Like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
I can't wait to later get into like the things that like Katie said about like how excited she is.
Lisa may be a bad person. I think based on that contract thing, I got like the skeeziest feeling.
I mean, she's kind of an American oligarch.
Yeah.
She really is. Like she, I was explaining to my boyfriend how, you know, a lot of these housewives live in like pretty like within their means. They don't have a lot. They've done one cool thing. They're married to one cool person, like maybe.
Yeah.
Lisa has built like an empire that's allowed her to have like a moat around her house with like swans in it. She has so many businesses at her control. And like her husband is like pretty sketchy.
They come from dubious beginnings, I think.
Yeah.
And
for
like
them to like bring over the like British thing and just start like booming corporations here, like they've done some sketchy things.
Yeah.
She is like the true definition of like new money, like American oligarch.
Mm hmm. I need like a whole podcast that's devoted just to like investigating their past, like an explosive investigation into like their business dealings
I've
and how they like come
to,
up.
Like, find stuff about Lisa and there's not a lot.
Because she's like unscrupulous, like someone that is doing that to her own employees and like very much putting them in like a bad position, yeah, like business wise. And then did you hear that like Nene came forward and said like she, yeah, originally wanted to buy Pump and Lisa told her don't do it, it's like a shitty building,
yeah,
and then immediately went and bought
that.
It.
Yeah.
She's sketchy.
Yeah. A snake. I mean, I know she's ruthless. I don't exactly blame her, but I do.
I mean, you got to do what you got to do, yeah, in this world, but also I'm just like, where's the lie?
Yeah.
Yeah. James starts crying about girls' night being taken over by Katie.
He throws tantrums.
I feel bad for him, too, because Katie, yeah, is just doing that to fuck with him. And he does have
Everyone is doing that to fuck with him, like
major moment where he's like, is it helping Katie's bank? No. Is it affecting mine? Yes. Which is, yeah, like the whole point of her doing that in the first place is to just like power flex over him.
Yeah. I mean, I've never, my God, with all the corrupt places I've worked, like men commenting on my appearance or my relationships or just like any of the number of things like an asshole coworker could say to you is just like kind of part of life.
Yeah.
And avoiding them is also part of life. Like rising above that is part of success, like personal success, at least. It feels just like very vindictive.
It's vindictive. And it's also like it's weird to make the negative things that people have said about you part of your like brand and identity.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that it is. To me, it's like more of a weakness to be like, I'm this affected by what he said.
That I'm now going to go out of my way to just like
destroy him.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's not losing anything. Like,
no.
She's in on that 2.5% tom-tom.
She's married to it. So she's like cashing the checks and they go into some sort of mutual bank account.
Yeah.
And then also it's like, okay, so what? Like someone said your shorts were unflattering. Like, get the fuck over it.
Yeah. I wrote down two things about that particular scene that I thought were funny. The one was, like, I love when Katie and Schwartz specifically will use, like, one big word to, mm-hmm, kind of, like, confuse either Raquel or James or anyone else, like, in the vicinity. She was doing it with Billy when they were yelling at each other.
Yeah.
And I hate people that use, like, big words. I just, like, we're not in high school. We're not trying to like impress anyone on our MySpace pages, which like Katie should know a lot about.
Yeah.
I hate when people use big words to try to kind of like confuse and then also like build themselves up as like the person that's like correct here. And whenever Tom was like, you're being contentious, and James was like, I'm not being contentious. I was like, James doesn't know what that means. That's not fair.
Yeah.
That's not fair. And then Raquel said the funniest thing whenever James like stormed off, and she goes, I think he thinks he's resolved with it.
Oh, Raquel.
With it? Like, it just like, I think
she never.
I think he thinks it's resolved.
Yeah.
He's resolved with it.
Raquel's like constantly just like malfunctioning.
Yeah, she's glitching.
Yeah, I love too when she just looks at James, she goes, babe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And whenever she was just like kind of complaining about the Lala thing, like the fact that she brought her dog into it as like a victim selling point was like,
I'm just going to sit with Graham.
I'm just supposed to sit with Graham. And it like cuts over to like another dead dog. Like the amount of like dead dog like cut scenes in this episode were
so many.
Really funny.
The true victims. Sheena and Lala get together for coffee, and their coffee orders revealed more about them than like I ever knew.
First of all, I forget what they ordered, so please remind me.
Sheena orders a macchiato, and then Lala orders a vanilla latte, and I just realized like these girls are like full fatty coffee drinker kind of girls. Yeah. Like, they're not like healthy people.
No.
And like if you are like branding yourself as, I think they very much have leaned into this like fitness lifestyle, like working out all the time, yeah, like trying to be like eating healthy, this just like tore it all down.
Yeah,
you don't get a vanilla latte.
No, I mean, ever. not if you're trying to not look, if you're like Lala.
Yeah. And so I was like, wait, this is not adding up. And then Sheena had like, she recently like Instagrammed a photo of her fridge and was like, I love having a full fridge. Hee hee hee.
Is it just like kale or like soda?
It was.
What was it?
Shocking. It was like those Bai drinks, like the BAI.
Stop.
It was a million of those. Capri Sun.
Those are not highbrow.
No, Capri Sun. Gatorade. Then it was cheese, string cheese, and like yogurt. It was all dairy and sugar drinks. And I was like, you have terrified me to my core. I no longer trust a single thing you say.
I'm shocked that she isn't aware of like sugar being the enemy of everything. If you're consuming beverages with sugar in them, you're literally just drinking calories that do not matter.
Like,
you're
don't get like it.
40 grams of sugar per like Capri Sun pouch. Like, that's insane.
Like, she just doesn't understand. I was like, this is not the fridge of a healthy person, either mentally or physically. I was like, this has changed everything. And then
that's
their coffee orders on top of that, I was like, no.
Sheena also like flirting with like the dude behind. She was like, have you ever been a cabana boy? Did you
and
hear
he's
that?
Like, yeah, and he's like, what?
He just like doesn't respond. And she's like laughing to herself.
She's like, no, cabana boy. And he's like, what? And like, she just makes everyone supremely uncomfortable. Sheena like sexually harasses people.
Yeah, she does. She has absolutely no boundaries with anybody. She's the most annoying. Like, I'm so tired of her. And I thought that like, you see a lot of character growth with some of these people, whether it's professional or like literal. Like, I feel like Stassi has a lot of character growth. She's dating someone very healthy for her that like puts up with like her clear bipolar personality disorder,
which they fully have like borderline. A cute relationship. Really like could turn on a moment's notice.
Yeah, and like that's what I relate to as like someone with borderline personality disorder. I see that in her, and I'm like, something, like, we don't know like what's happened to Stassi. Like,
yeah,
we don't know what's happened in her past, and like the way she acts, her fear of abandonment is like very like rooted probably in something like heavily traumatic.
Yeah.
So like I like feel for her on that level, and I also like commend her for like her ability to like sit in front of Bo and be like, I don't know what's wrong with me, and like I need help. Bo was also so patient.
Bo, like, they, I like stan their relationship. Like, I'm in.
I do.
I fully like, and I'm so invested. Happy for her. I want it to like, I want to see it through to like marriage, kids.
Same.
Like, I want it to work.
Patrick just like, no.
Patrick was both like the best and worst thing that ever happened to her, because I feel like he's awful. Like, I'm sad for her that she had to be in a relationship with him for 4 years, which is literally like 3 years and 364 days too long.
Yeah.
But like, he also made her sympathetic.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He kind of changed and, like, shifted the view of her, which, well, I don't know if she would have.
She finally got, like, a taste of, like, what she'd been doing. I mean, you've heard about, like, her. What was it? She, like, took, like a tennis racket to, like, Jax once. Like,
she broke Jax's nose.
Yeah.
Once.
Yeah. There are a lot of stories about that. And I think that, I mean, I'm just, like, spitballing, but I really think that, like, she's been through more than she lets on, and that, like, her behaviors are, like, so rooted in that. And also, like, her mom is insane. Like, her mom is so fucked up that, like, Stassi, by default, is fucked up. So I like seeing her character growth. However, like, going back to what we were talking about, there is just, like, no growth with Sheena. Like, she continues to be the most delusional person on the cast.
Yeah.
And, like, her, like, literally sitting there being like, I'm a single woman. I just, like, love what's going on right now. And it's like, no, you don't. And that's also, like, not...
You're also not single. Like, this... You're
dating someone.
If you talk about a person 24/7 and you're fucking them and hanging out with them all the time, you're not single. So, like, just you saying that doesn't fool everyone into thinking that, like, you are single, but she truly thinks, like, if I just say it, then it's true, even though, like, my actions don't support any of this.
She drives me crazy.
I kind of love it. I like her just, like, stagnating. It's like, we know we can depend on one thing in this world, which is that Sheena will always be just, like, completely herself.
Yeah.
And just, like, a delusional diva.
Yeah, she's completely delusional, especially with, like, her new acting career. And then her, like, weird realization that, I don't know, whenever Lala was like, you're never gonna, like, make the other girls happy.
When you have to sit down, like, it's like, Sheena doesn't understand that after, what, 7 years, like, these people don't want to be your friend.
Yeah.
They've never wanted to be your friend. You've always had some sort of insecurity around them. They bring out, like, the worst sides of your, like, I'm sure, like, whatever she goes through internally when she has to hang out with them is, like, so anxiety-inducing. And it's like, anyone else would just put two and two together and be like, wow, I just shouldn't be around these people anymore. Strive to be friends with them. Like, I'll branch out and make new friends and, like, get some new relationships around people that don't make me feel like shit.
Yeah.
Sheena does not learn that and just continually strives to, like, be in the group.
She only functions in that zone.
And that's when you truly have Lala sitting down with you, which is someone that came in the kind of the similar way where everyone talked shit about her. No one, like, wanted to be her friend. Now she's in it telling you that you will never, ever get to be friends with these people. It's like, Sheena, how much, like, pain and disappointment do you need to go through in order to, like, learn a very basic lesson about life?
I think she needs to learn so much about herself. One, I think my biggest pet peeve with people in general is that, like, Sheena has no conviction. She has absolutely no idea what she believes in, what she stands for, what she cares about. And I mean, it's very, like, obvious, like, why people don't like her.
Yeah.
She doesn't, I mean, she's never going to stand up for anything.
Sheena needs to go on, like, a silent retreat.
Yeah.
And, like, for, like, months.
Yeah.
Go to, like, Nepal or something and live in a monastery and, like, fully just, like, not speak for 60 days and do, like, an internal, like, take stock of everything and then, like, come out a different person.
She needs to do, like, a full Alanis Morissette in, like, 1998.
Yeah.
And come back and, like, write thank you.
She needs to cut off all her hair.
Yeah.
And then, then, like, just be stripped down to nothing in order to, like, figure out who she truly is.
The fact that Sheena hasn't shaved her head yet is shocking to me, but, like, I need her to.
I know.
Or at least, like,
or at least,
like,
just Sheena a boycott. With a pixie, like a pixie.
Would be, I would delight in that.
Powerful.
Yeah. That would be a power move to literally everyone if she just switched up.
If Sheena, like, in between seasons decided to leave and go on, like, a eat, pray, love, discovery, silent retreat journey.
I'd be proud of her.
Then came back with, like, short hair and was so zen and just, like, really self-aware and in tune with the universe. Yeah. Think of how amazing that would be to watch
she
play
needs
out.
That.
Katie would flip her shit.
Yeah.
Like, she wouldn't be able to handle, like, Sheena's, like, newfound sense of, like, self.
The producers need to, like, egg her on to do something like this or pay for it.
Pay for it. It's not that expensive. Like, yoga retreats are not that expensive.
Sheena is, like, a classic, like, sex and love addict. Mm-hmm. Like, I think, like, she really needs to get, like, rehabilitated for it.
She also needs to, like, have a journey of self-discovery because she doesn't have orgasms and never masturbates.
It's bizarre. She doesn't know what she likes. I don't think she has any hobbies except like curating her like weird closet that's like a room.
Yeah.
And like hanging posters of like Marilyn Monroe.
Mm-hmm.
And Audrey Hepburn. It's just like, I just like...
And like the weird metal things on the wall that like, are like meaningless.
She needs to like get into like punk heavily.
Yeah.
Punk and grunge and like alternative 90s and then just go like full monk.
Yeah. I'm in.
I would love to see that for her.
I need like everyone to really go for it next season because this season has been so dead. Ew. She says she just like hanged. She's like, I love just like a hang and bang. Which like made same, but I also am like gross. Don't say that, Gina. Lala is taking all the girls on a thank you private jet trip to Solvang, which feels like a really random place to go.
It's random and it's also like so low effort.
And also it's like she's taking them on a trip to say thanks for being there for me when my father passed away, which is like any human with a soul that considers themselves like a friend, it's like would be there for you in this situation. Like that's not something you have to like thank people for.
I think Lala, in seeing her breakdown in like previous seasons and previous episodes, thinks that she needs to award people through like what she has monetarily so that they'll like her and continue liking her, which I think is really sad.
Yeah.
And I used to kind of be like that, like in my early 20s when like I had my like daddy's credit card and could like pay for everyone at the bar.
Totally. But it's a sign of like, it's a sign of weakness, not strength.
It's a huge sign of insecurity that these people wouldn't want to hang out with you if you didn't have what you have. And I feel like now that she has all of this stuff, that's probably a big fear of hers.
Oh yeah. And I remember like the moment that I saw them like on Instagram stories, like on the PJ, and I was like, oh, this is the game we're playing now where like once it's extended to you and you get to take part in it, we're all friends. But then it's also just made me sad for Lala because I was like, you've set the bar that like they are going to be part of this. And this is the only reason that they're hanging out with you.
Yeah.
Because if you did not have a connection to like a man who is considered powerful in Hollywood, who had all these perks, they would still be calling you like a home wrecking whore.
Yeah, 100%. People switch up real fast when you get a private jet.
Yeah.
Access to a private jet, at least.
Show everyone, if you want to see who your true friends are,
get a private jet.
Get a private jet and then see who comes running.
Yeah.
Jax is, like, bartending on his birthday, which, like, lol, as if.
Yeah. And Brittany, like, runs up to him and is like, baby.
She's like, happy birthday. I love you. And then, like, makes him kiss her.
I can't. Like, her baby voice to him when I'm like, how do you not resent this man so much that, like, looking at him, like, makes you sick?
Maybe she has some long con, like, Gone Girl type plan where she, like, years from now is going to destroy his life.
I hope so.
Because, like, I think about him and Faith all the time. Like, that's always on the back of my mind. And the fact that there's a recording out there of him.
It's sick.
Saying, like, disgust, vile shit that was so bad that they could never air it. Like, how do you get over that? Like, that would be
hearing
the end.
That at a party.
Yeah.
Where all your friends are like, this is that. Where we're going to decide to show this to her. On top of that, like, the brutality of, like, they were fucking, like, in front of, like, a sleeping old woman.
Yeah.
That.
The woman that was on her deathbed.
That is so, to me, just, like, first of all, just trash, but also irredeemable. Like, that on top of.
Then.
This bitch recorded it. Like, when. First of all, how did he not kind of like catch on to like maybe I shouldn't be telling Faith this?
No, he's an idiot though.
Exactly. Yeah. But like, I just like the recording it is so fucking low that like something like that happening where it's like there is a recording of my boyfriend saying that like I'm trash, I'm a hillbilly, like he doesn't want to marry me, he's never going
saying that he's like over me, that I'm not hot to him anymore,
that they don't have sex.
I would be like, you never talk to me again and I'm calling the police if I ever see you.
She handled it better than I would have gone like full Stassi, started throwing anything breakable.
I would have been like, you're out. Get the fuck out of this apartment.
I would have sued him. Yeah. This is where I'm just like, a lot of these women may be crazy, but like the things that Jax does warrant like snapping and breaking his nose.
Yeah.
I just like, for whatever like Stassi went through that like we didn't see with like her years long relationship with this asshole, like when he was younger and worse, I just like, I cannot imagine like what it would be like to be at a party. And like, I honestly, I thought that like for Britney, it was kind of a power move to be like, no, everyone's going to listen to this.
Yeah.
Cause she's so meek. And I was like, no, like, yeah, like you're right. Like I would put him on blast like that. I would make sure everyone knew.
But then I would leave that relationship.
Yeah, I would never go back.
And it's not, I don't like being told that it's like a sign of strength and true love it's that not. You stayed. Cause it's that's not. Just
there
like
is always
false.
Going to be hidden resentments. And like, he's not going to change.
No.
Like, Reiki isn't going to change Jax Taylor.
No, and someone dying is not going to change anything. That has actually nothing to do with like, you when someone dies. That has everything to do with their life ending.
And the people questioning that aren't wrong, and I feel like they're being vilified as like, oh, they're like anti-Jax and Britney who are like the saviors of the season or something. But like they're right. Like once that kind of like shock wears off, and he doesn't feel, you know, like when someone close to you dies, you kind of feel like, oh my God, like I've been doing this all wrong. I have to get my life back on track. But like that is a grieving process and it wanes.
Yeah.
He's going to cheat on you again. Give it 2 years, tops.
Less. I've had on good authority that he already has cheated on her.
I believe you 100%.
Yeah.
I believe that.
There's nothing that's changing and I need this like facade to be broken.
Yeah.
I now need like
I wanted
next
her to
season.
Go like full like rogue, like I'm gonna fuck this person up.
Yeah. Like next season I hope that it's like a repeat of season 5.
Yeah.
Even though that was painful to watch and honestly like probably hurt a lot more people like that were viewing it than it helped them.
Yeah.
That's what I need.
Yeah, me too.
Girls' night is my nightmare. There's nothing that looks fun about that.
No, and like everything Sheena does is so exaggerated to me, like the definition of extra. And whenever I catch her, like in the beginning of like the whenever they're doing the whole song and dance thing and she just like whips around, it's so dramatic. But like seeing her do that on like the bar where she's literally just like going like this,
like holding a bottle of alcohol and then like
so
pouring it down people's throat. Yeah, it like reminds me of like when I was in college in Chicago and I would go to these like really like bro-y bars and there would always be like hot girls like dancing on the bar, like pouring drinks down your throat. It's like college
style
partying.
They like think their
life
is like a movie. Like that's what Sheena lives by. Like she thinks that she is living in like Coyote Ugly.
Yeah.
For like a brief moment.
This is her Coyote Ugly moment.
It is.
Tom Schwartz narcs out James to Katie. Like immediately goes, and then I was like, oh, Schwartz, you have no spine. Like you're there to spy and then report back.
Well, he also narcs out and then says like, oh, but like I feel sorry for the guy. And it's like, he's another person that's so spineless. He has no conviction.
Yeah.
And like, he has and the thing is like he has a wife. So like kind of no matter what, like he should be at least trying to back his wife up, but like he can't. Like even when he was visiting James at like the booth and was like, making a joke basically about how James called her fat by being like, Katie isn't fat, she's like sexy and voluptuous. And the way he said it was like,
no, you think she's fat too, but you're trying to like make it okay.
And he was trying to be, it was really obvious he was trying to be cool with James and not offend him.
Yeah.
Which is like, first of all, Katie's not fat.
She's never been fat a day in her life.
She's never been fat.
No. None of these people have been fat.
But the way that, like, Schwartz kind of plays sides is, like, really annoying.
But, like, talk about resentments. Like, I feel like everything he does, like, even these little things are microaggressions against Katie. Because he knows in the back of his mind that it pisses her off that he even would entertain the thought of, like, speaking to James.
Yeah.
And then he tries to kind of play it off as, like, oh, he's a peacemaker and it's not a big deal and he actually does have her back, but he really doesn't have her back the whole way. And I think that this is his way of like revenge on her for being like,
I think
so
too.
Controlling.
Yeah.
And it's just like, this is going to build over years and years and years. But like, this is the kind of relationship you're in where it's
so
just like
gross and toxic.
Yeah.
On top of that, I do think that he feels like, I think he has a really soft spot for James in a way that Sandoval doesn't. Cause I feel like he and Sandoval kind of connect through like terrible music, first of all, but with Schwartz, it's more like just abject alcoholism.
Mm-hmm.
I think he sees a lot of like his own terrible behaviors when he's blacked out that James exhibits.
Yeah.
So naturally he feels sorry for him.
And he's like been through the same kind of struggles. So it's like,
yeah, I mean, he's been caught cheating a million times. I don't know why anyone's acting like holier than thou about James.
Yeah. Jax and Brittany go to a really shitty seafood place to like celebrate his birthday. And Jax like loves bad. He loves like shitty,
the neon bad sign that just says lobsters and beer.
Yeah. And it was like crabs crossing or some, there was some other like quirky sign.
Brittany just like loves to eat like crawdads.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
She loves it. They love that place, which actually I've perused like Yelp reviews of like hot and juicy crawfish that's like next to that Target on like Santa Monica and La Brea. They love it there. But then I read Yelp reviews and it's actually like people really live for it. Like it has good ones. Oh. So I don't know what the truth is because I still haven't been there. But they like love just like a mall seafood moment.
Yeah, they're mall people.
Yeah.
But also like the fact that they brought up their like fake beer cheese, like again, they were like, this is the place.
He's like, we should really do something with like seafood and the beer cheese.
Yeah, they which were is like, this would be a great place to get our beer cheese in.
This would be a great place to like poison people with our shitty beer cheese. His sister calls him and he gets emotional. And he says that every year his mom will call him on his birthday and like recount the story of his birth. But this year she just called him and was like, happy birthday, you piece of shit.
What I think is really weird is that he kind of invented this narrative that his mom called him and said happy birthday, but then later on he took it back.
That she didn't call him.
Yeah. So do you think he was lying in the beginning and that she didn't call, or that she did call and he wants sympathy?
I think she did call and he wants sympathy. So he's saying now to Lisa that she didn't call.
I think so too.
And also in his like confessional talking head, he's stopped up, which is, I'm just like, okay, you're like clearly doing coke again.
Yeah,
like 100%. I'm now on like, I'm on coke watch for him and Brittany because they get Brittany stopped so up every congested. Once in a while. I think it's blow.
She has a permanent sinus infection.
Yeah.
One thing that I thought was really interesting was that a couple episodes back, he actually did like briefly talk about his beef with his mom because he apparently wasn't made aware of how bad the cancer was until his father was like about to die. And now he I think acted out at his mom and was probably like, knowing Jax, like extremely aggressive. And now like sitting there being like, I don't know why she's so mad at me.
And he says in this episode that he's not okay with the way his dad's cancer was handled, which is very vague. And like,
I think that in my like
I feel like it's like I've not had an experience of like having a parent get sick like this, so like I don't know what it's like to go through that, and I'm sure that it's like awful and there's so many feelings around that kind of loss. But also it's like it seems like it's one of those things where it's like there's never gonna be like when someone is no struck with like terminal illness, like there's nothing you can do. And so it seems very Jax to have like a lot of like unresolved anger about that and like need to spew it out at someone.
Yeah. I mean, one theory of mine is that Jax was either not told how bad it was until the last minute, or that, you know, it could be possible that his dad was tired of like being treated and was just like, I'm fine.
We're done.
Like, if it's time for me to go, it's time for me to go. And I feel like a lot of resentment can come from that too.
Mm-hmm.
I've had like relatives die of cancer. And with that, it's kind of, I mean, it's just like, it's no, you can be as angry as you want, but I think it's just like a total waste of time to like alienate your biggest fan probably, who is like Dax's mom. And he acted very, that was like one thing, like my boyfriend doesn't really pay attention whenever I'm watching it, but he was like kind of like eyeing the TV screen and being like, he's being really selfish.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, he absolutely is.
He's like, being insane.
And for Lisa to be like, your mom should call you on your birthday. And I'm just like, well, what did Jax say to her? Because like, we know how Jax handles people when he's angry.
He's volatile.
Yeah, he goes on like a coke binge and like flicks people off and like screams at them. Like, that's not something that like I would call you for, even if you were my son.
Yeah. And like, he, like, his mom suffered like a deep
dark loss.
That was
as
her
well.
Husband.
So like, why?
And he's
are
like,
you...
I'm the baby.
Yeah.
And just like, get over yourself.
It's classic
get over
Jax.
Yourself, or you're going to lose your mom too.
Yeah. There's no AC at Tom Tom, and Sandoval is flipping out, and he doesn't know the address of his own restaurant.
That was something I wrote down. I was literally like, this is so funny that he is like, what's the address, Lisa? Like, what's the address? And then like Schwartz answers from like the toilet.
Yeah. It was just like, okay, no wonder you guys own 2.5% each.
Yeah.
Lisa is trying to monitor people who can come to the party. And she says that Jax can come just because it's his first birthday without his dad. Lisa's savage.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is where she says that Kristen cannot come. Which was like, that was a move.
Yeah. No, it was. For Stassi to be forgiven and Kristen to not be. First of all, Stassi has a lot more to offer. And I think that that's actually the thing.
Yeah. And Stassi's more of a star. Like,
yeah.
She definitely is like, I mean, Kristen has a lot of emotional issues, I think. And
she
I think
also
that
has, like,
she's
big,
someone,
like, loser energy.
Yeah, she does. And she's like kind of a tragic character.
Yeah, and she's a very bad sport.
And she's negative. And like, she also, though, got like, I think that she didn't really understand what she was signing up for. Like, when she started Vanderpump Rules, like, she saw like an opportunity to like be on a show, and like, she wanted to be an actor and blah, blah, blah. But she doesn't have like, Stassi at least knows how to give good TV.
Yeah.
And even if she's like being a total psychotic bitch, you still are kind of like enthralled by her.
Yeah.
Kristen's more of an acquired taste, where you either are like, love watching a train wreck, like I love it, so I love Kristen, or you're just like, oh my god, this is like too dark and too much for me, like I can't fuck with her.
It's not too dark for me.
Yeah,
I love watching it. I just like, I get why she is like the least favored.
Yeah,
among all of them, and will probably never be forgiven because she has nothing to offer,
and she never has ever tried to like humble herself to Lisa.
No.
And Lisa won't accept that.
Yeah, I mean, so that's what, like, you have to play the game.
Yeah.
And
but Kristen also, like, is not aware of how she comes off on television. Like, she doesn't have, like, she's not, like, self-possessed enough to, like, not, like, in that scene where all the moms go out to dinner and she, like, is shit-talking Stassi. It's like, okay, well, you hate Stassi. Like, this is very clear now. And,
yeah,
like, the dynamics of your friendship are, like...
She resents Stassi's success.
Yeah.
So much. And then, like, for Stassi's mom to be, like, if my daughter could be half the woman you are. And I'm literally, like, who are you talking about? Like, who, Kristen?
Two...
You're kidding.
Deludenoids. Like...
Yeah.
Talking.
The worst talking head I've ever seen was whenever Kristen like physically got up from her chair and started dancing like around the room about getting James fired.
That's another moment
it has been
where it's like
6 fucking years.
Get over it, Dodie.
He was 22 years old.
Yeah. Like
22 years old.
This is a bad look for you. And if you were smart and knew how to play the game, like you would understand that and try and like manipulate the viewers to your advantage, but you don't know what you're doing. And that's what I love, but I also am just like,
so
God,
cringy.
Kristen, like, will you ever get it? And the answer is no.
No, she's just as delusional as Sheena.
She's getting ready for that Daily Mail party, and Carter is not invited. And then he does that creepy sing-song voice that he did, like,
last
season.
I hate it so much. I hate it. So uncomfortable.
I hate Carter.
What was the last time? He did it whenever that guy, he was like, why
was
that guy?
Stories, they be changing.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're a serial killer. Like, you are not to be trusted.
Like, to approach, like, your girlfriend with that whenever you want to ask her if she's, like, potentially cheated on you is, like, the creepiest.
Yeah. And then using the dog, like, dancing it around and being like, I guess I'm not cool enough to be invited.
It's I can't like, stand him.
You're so angry.
I really can't stand him. And I wish I knew more about their relationship, because I can't imagine it not being just as toxic as all of her previous ones.
It's definitely psychotic. And, like, I feel like that was the only smart move that she's made, is, like, keeping that relationship pretty much off camera 24/7. Because
it needs to be.
It made you think... It made me think, at least, that she had, like, kind of rehabbed herself a little bit, or, like, had gotten to a much more chill place.
But I don't think so.
No. And Kristen gets a text that she's disinvited from the party. And then later on, it just cuts to her crying in her bed eating pasta.
Yeah, laying down eating pasta, which is a feat.
Fully horizontal eating is asking to die. And then also add crying. Like, I can't eat when I cry.
No.
Like that crying immediately takes away my hunger.
And then her dogs like jump on the bed and she's like, at least someone likes me. And I'm kind of like, this is how you feel. First of all, she's getting a taste of her own medicine because yeah. she strategically got James pretty much banned and uninvited from everything. Mm-hmm. But it's also like, you're missing out on like a Daily Mail party. And she was like, I got them flowers. Like those flowers were like maybe $15.
They were like flowers from Whole Foods.
And like your ex-boyfriend, like you guys might be cool, but he's not like a huge fan.
No.
So it's not like he's like, oh, like he like said in like his talking head, he was like, of course I wanted Kristen to come. But I'm just like, did either of you actually, or were you just being nice?
I think it's always just like assumed that she will come because she's part of the group. But then yeah. this was like a flex. It was like, you're not. I think Lisa lives for any sort of moment that she can make that dig and draw a yeah. line in the sand it's with Kristen. Power. Yeah, it's a power move. Because yeah. there was all that, like all the rumors early on the season that Kristen was like, not she was going to be bumped down to friend of and all that shit, and I feel like that was probably around this time too.
Yeah, I'm wondering. I haven't gotten like a good look at like a side by side, but I do think they put her like further back in like the beginning sequence mm-hmm. where like she's now like kind of like back with like James, where like the losers hang out, like where like Raquel is.
Yeah.
She used to have a front row seat.
She did, and not anymore.
Yeah, I wonder like how that much must feel like filming that every year and then like getting further and further pushed to the back until you're just like no longer in it.
Yeah.
It's like a weird yearbook photo.
What do you have to do though? Like she's not willing to do necessarily what it takes to get like back in the front fold, which would really be like apologizing to Lisa and trying to like make nice, and then I don't know what else she could do. Like, I feel like she's already dug her own grave.
Yeah, and she's never going to actually authentically apologize. She's also someone that doesn't know how to authentically apologize for yeah. anything.
Yeah.
And
it's always someone else's fault. In Lisa's defense,
she was an absolute trash employee.
Yeah.
Causing so much drama. Just caused drama
and then would just like go into the alley and yeah. cry and smoke and drink
yeah.
during her work hours.
Yeah, it was insane. I think that one interesting thing you could do is like take like every shot of like their yearbook photos and like have them like ranked and see like who is like moving, because it's kind of like Stalin-esque in a way where it's just like people moving in and out of favor politically with yeah. like Lisa, who will always be front and center, but like at one point Stassi was kind of in the back.
And but so now it's like making Katie like a little map is of, in like, the front.
Yeah,
yeah.
And making like a little map of like who has been like, you know, deduced to like the back and who's been giving like brownie points so they can come back up to the front. I feel like that over like the course of like the last like 6 years would be really interesting.
Yeah. And I think Katie, she doesn't do a lot that's great on this show, but what she has done really well is like connect herself to Lisa in such a way that she will never get fired off of Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah, never. That is like someone, I feel like Katie's like a second daughter.
Yeah. Like, Lisa cares for her so much.
Yeah.
And, like, that's the smartest thing Katie's ever done.
Yeah.
Because it ensures her and Schwartz's position on the show for all of eternity.
Yeah, even when Schwartz is just incompetent.
James has to DJ in a small room.
This cracked me up and so much. He's sitting on toilet paper rolls.
Sitting on toilet paper rolls with that fan that he like can't get to just yeah. turn on him. So he's kind of like making his head like follow the fan at one point. He's sweating. And then every other song, he like runs out into that little like cubby hole and yeah, dances.
To like kind of pretend he might be DJing there.
Yeah.
Where like you can't like see like the equipment, but like he's there.
Yeah.
But I don't think anyone was actually like, oh, he's like in a closet.
Yeah.
Like he's a storage closet.
Behind the scenes.
Yeah. That was like literally a moment where I was thinking back of like all the jobs I've had where people have glamorized them as like, oh my God, you work here. Oh my God, you work here. And then like you see like the actual like what it is. And it's so tragic.
You're just like sweating profusely in a closet next to a security camera.
And you're not allowed to mingle or talk to anybody.
No.
Unless they come to you like Jax did.
Yeah. Peter, he's the temporary TomTom manager. Did you see that little like cry on? I feel bad for Peter.
Same.
The party gets underway and all the girls arrive and like make a huge deal out of like how insanely beautiful this restaurant is. And it's just like, have you guys never been to a museum or like seen any true beauty in your lives? Like, I don't think they have.
And they're congratulating the designer and they're like crying.
Brittany goes, I've got chill bumps. Which
that cracked me up. That absolutely cracked me up. I've never heard that before. I Googled it.
Do people like, call it chill bumps?
I guess like in Kentucky, maybe.
That's like a saying. Maybe. She just didn't understand like goosebumps versus like chills and just merged them into chill bumps.
It seems like a colloquialism at best or just something she made up.
I'm nervous. Katie says, this is going to be where all of us hang out forever.
This cracked me up. Okay, this part specifically cracked me up because it feels like when, you know, like how teenagers on like social media will be like, this is going to be the best summer of our lives. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And they're just like, this is it, guys. Like, this is it. Like, we're never going to forget this summer. And it's like summer of 2009, like stand up. You can still like find like those like old quotes, like you put in like your buddy profile and shit. And like, she starts like naming off. She was like, this is our Central Perk. And then she named two other things. And I was like, where is like the obvious like St. Elmo's fire reference, which like she's old enough to get. But like, of course, like she's never seen it probably. No, but
she's
like,
going for like the most basic for this bottom to be, of the barrel.
Your Central Perk, Tom Tom. I just like, who do you guys think you, the cast of Friends? I just like, what?
Their opinion of themselves has gotten to be like really inflated at this point. And I think that it comes with, it's like this false sense of confidence that comes with like money and like fame and notoriety. And like, but it's not rooted in anything like real.
Yeah. I mean, they have such a blinkered world view of like what's actually happening. And when she was like, this is where we're going to be hanging out every day for the rest of our lives, I was like, you really think you're in a movie? We're going to come in and people are going to give you free cocktails and you and all your friends are going to sit here every day because your husband's name, which could be honestly like attributed to so many other things. And they decided to kick them out.
Mm-hmm.
Who owns 2.5% of this entire thing is like, what? Like, what are you thinking?
Nothing.
You're
going to
come in
up
here and like do what? Like work from here? Like bring your laptop in? It was like a sense of like they own the place.
Mm-hmm.
It was really funny and absurd.
Yeah. Stassi wears a jumpsuit that she must have in every single color of the rainbow. She wears it every day. Is wear that jumpsuit.
Yeah.
I'm so confused by it.
I felt the same way when I saw like Bo.
He's like steaming it for her, which is really like, sweet.
It is really sweet. But I've recognized that jumpsuit. She has it in white. I know that.
She has it in red, I'm pretty sure. She sometimes lends it to Kristen, and Kristen wears it.
Where is it from?
I think it's like a shitty Revolve jumpsuit like jumpsuit or something.
Yeah, that you can just buy like a million in different colors.
Yeah, like it's like $100 or like, you know, like $78.
Maybe she'll go over that in her book as like, you know, the true basic thing is buying literally the same thing in multiple colors.
And that same thing is just a jumpsuit.
Yeah.
Not even a dress.
A regular jumpsuit.
I hope that
jumpsuit.
She does address that in like the chapter next to the pug chapter.
The pug chapter. I need to see it.
Stassi says that she could never come up with this beautiful of a place in her dreams. Direct quote. In regards to Tom Tom.
Was this when she was talking to Lala at like
I think
table?
So, yeah.
She does this thing with her hands that like I know I'm talking about. She goes like this.
Oh,
with, like,
yeah.
Hands where she's like, it's a really weird.
Her gesticulation hand. Where she's like,
this is the best group.
Yeah.
What did she say? She basically did the this is the summer of our lives thing where she was like, we're the best group of messed up motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Ever. And Lala just goes like, she goes like, yeah. Lala's just like not, she's like, I'm not like, this isn't my group. Like, no. This isn't my end goal at all. And like, Stassi's like sitting there being like, this is like what we've all been dreaming of.
It is what they've all been dreaming of. Like, Lala has had like the balls to like dream bigger.
Yeah.
And this is like peak, like every day that everyone else wakes up on Vanderpump Rules is the best day of their lives because they never, ever thought that it would get to this. Like So they've never like let their minds just like wander to like their wildest dreams.
Yeah.
And then now they get, but which is a great place to be because then every day is a gift.
I mean, like what's crazy is they were sitting at that table kind of talking about like how successful like Tom and Tom are, but like Stassi and Lala are just like,
Stassi's
insurmountably
the most
more successful than either of those two will be, regardless of this restaurant.
Yeah. Like they're like, they own a restaurant. Like this is incredible.
Like they don't like, own anything. No. It's
they
their
can't
namesake.
Even get their boss to make a written out contract.
Yeah. That's how little she trusts them.
Yeah. Like this is not success.
No. Writing a book is success. Like getting a book deal, success. Like yeah. having a private jet you can use whenever you want.
That's
is success.
Yeah. Jax is 39 and he and Lisa talk and he said he actually had a good cry this morning. She's like, how's your birthday going? He's like, I had a good cry this morning.
Yeah. And then he relays the same sob story of like, my mom didn't call me.
Yeah.
I think he genuinely just wanted her to feel bad because he's obsessed with like Lisa playing his mom.
Yeah. It puts her in like a power seat where she gets like take care of him and yeah. he's like a wounded
her, like,
baby.
Wounded bird analogy yeah. that she always uses.
Okay. I was truly shaken to my very core when it was revealed that the Toms know what aquafaba is.
So was I.
Because I just got Gwyneth's Clean Plate book, and that was the first time I'd ever heard of aquafaba. Was
That's
from,
how
like,
I heard
Goop.
About it, too.
Yeah. And I thought, like, that crossover where it's like they know about things that are chic, like, before I know about them, makes me really uncomfortable, and I question everything about my life.
I'm sure that someone had to, like, maybe this is a stretch, but it's actually not that much of a reach to say that whenever Lisa told them that they could do this, she may have like had them take classes with like upscale people.
Oh, yeah. That's
I feel like
point.
She wouldn't give them this type of like power of like the namesake and being like the like poster children of all of this and be able to like make their own drinks without like learning like the real, especially like Schwartz,
mm-hmm.
who knows nothing about the art of anything.
Yeah. He probably was told like a couple weeks prior, like, this is what this is.
Yeah.
This is what we need. And
I
then
feel
he
like
got
they,
like obsessed with yeah. it because it was kind of a big word. And
of
like,
course. Yeah. And he's yeah. excited. He loves the big words as yeah. we talked about earlier.
He Googled it and yeah. then really like got into like researching aquafaba and then like, when it ran out that night, he was excited to like make a big deal out of it.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes me feel a little bit better because I was truly like, I had to just like pause and take a moment when I was watching
it. I just like genuinely don't think like as like damage control, like I think that Lisa has the wits to like secure that her business is going to be run properly by people. If someone asked them, if someone like a patron came in and like asked them, like, do you have this? You can't have these like fumbling idiots be like, what's that?
Yeah.
You know?
Aqua what?
Yeah. Like yeah. you can't, you just can't, you can't risk that. I feel like they may have been put through like an intensive program.
Yeah.
Like a boot camp.
They had to have been.
Yeah.
I wish they had filmed that.
Yeah.
I need to know what all steps went into
like,
them actually doing this
exactly.
restaurant. Because all they've showed is like them being idiots.
Yeah. I feel like the boot camp would have been necessary, but also would have probably like made them look bad on actual TV. Like they didn't know what they were doing the whole time.
Yeah.
Which they didn't.
Yeah.
So now that they like randomly do, I think that's not a coincidence.
Lisa's shit-faced and she's preening to just like no one.
Yeah.
Like smiling out at the universe, like kind of like dancing to herself.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I love this. And then Tom Sandoval says, Lisa being drunk right now is such a huge compliment. Which is like, that is like that epitomizes the way that people on Vanderpump Rules think.
That was another thing that my boyfriend looked up and goes, what? Like, he was just like, wait, like, how is that a compliment? Like, this is like, the bar is that low? Like, someone getting drunk, like,
Lisa's
is your
drunk
success?
Because there's no AC. It's yeah. hot as fuck. She's like probably stressed out, hasn't eaten anything, drink one cocktail yeah. and is now shit faced.
I only saw clips of her drinking that same pink cocktail.
And like,
of course she's drunk. It was a big cocktail.
Yeah. But like someone getting drunk is not a compliment.
No.
But I love that they take it that way.
Yeah.
And Then I wrote down, like, just what the fuck is this episode? Because we've literally been, like, conned into watching an episode about them, like, throwing a party at Tom Tom.
Which was,
like,
for the Daily Mail.
For the Daily Mail, which was, like, the most low stakes. There was no stakes, and they just had to, like, create stakes. Like, we all know that the party was going to happen. Like, what the fuck? Billy Lee is nowhere to be found, which, like, I would have loved any sort of follow-up on, like, all the Billy Lee drama.
Yeah.
It would have been perfect to include her in this and also show her at, like, the girls' night.
And
that
she wasn't invited, so I wonder how that's going to turn out.
Yeah. Oh, Lala says about the Tom, she goes, she's, like, talking about how successful everyone is, and she goes, they have their names on a building in West Hollywood. Life is fucking good. And it's like... The definition of success
is the bar is so low.
Yeah.
But also, did you love her outfit? She was dressed like she was about to perform Godspell.
Yeah.
She was wearing like a polka dot, like, and then a beret. Like,
and a beret.
Straight
and
out of like Rhythm Nation.
Like a Gucci, like, waist bag.
Yeah.
She looked like she was like either going to be in a music video or like play tennis.
Yeah. I'm so confused.
And she was supposed to work. She was working.
Yeah.
Like, she wasn't there as
hosting
a party guest.
Or greeting people.
Yeah. She was there like standing at the
just like honing it in, basically. Yeah.
Jax says he goes and like fucks with James and like keeps friendly, like offering to get him a drink, which was the most sinister thing ever because he knows that James
really
is not
dark.
Drinking.
He asked multiple times. He was like, can I get you a drink? Can
He's
I get
like,
you a
let
beer?
Me get you a
can
drink,
I get you a
man?
Cocktail?
I'll get you whatever. Like, what do you want? And that James has to say, like, I'm not drinking. So Jax just went up there to like fuck with him and like try and get
he
him to fall off the
it
wagon.
Too.
Yeah.
What I find like really sinister about that is that like if anyone has had like substance problems, it's fucking Jax. So like knowing that someone is sober and like picking on them for it, not
cool.
Not cool at all. And he knew exactly what he was doing.
He knew exactly.
With like the guise of being like friendly.
Yeah.
Where he's like
which
Betty,
makes it
like,
even worse.
And then he makes a gay joke about him.
Yeah.
And then the closet
James
joke.
Is like, I know.
Yeah, that was like that's the thing that I'm waiting for.
Yeah, like fully diffused it and then was like, whatever.
I mean, I think everyone on the season knows that Raquel is his beard.
Yeah.
Everyone on the season has a beard.
Where's like I need Logan back in the mix.
I need to know what happened. I need to tell all from Logan.
I feel like it's like they probably filmed like whatever was going on with Logan like last season, but then cut it because it was like
too
revealing or something.
I don't think it's like, unfortunately, except for those of us who like watch it and like dissect it like this, I feel like Vanderpump is like, the audience is not ready to like divulge in like purely gay man on man.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Like, this is like, I mean, wasn't Brittany like a fan before she met Jax? Like, didn't they meet like because she was a fan?
They met. I think he
and
had like a meet
and
greet.
It took her like a while not to be homophobic.
Yeah.
It took her like a while. We saw her like struggling with it and like talking to her mom and being like, these people are, they're just like you and me, mom. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, it just, you could see like her internal struggle with like everything she'd been taught as like a good Christian woman. And then like moving to LA and being like inundated with like how life outside of like these tiny pocket areas work.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like the audience for Vanderpump is not like wanting to see James.
Like, true gay representation on the show. Yeah, it's a very straight show for being, like...
really straight, really white.
In a very, very, like, gay part of town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they act, like, very... I mean, I think that's why they have to be so extravagant about their, like, pride. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's, like, because you have, like, no one.
Yeah. And also, like, I just feel like Billy Lee was kind of, like... at this point has been chewed up and spit out. Like, she was used kind of as a prop last season.
Yeah, for sure.
And then this season when she is bringing up, like, it's good to have the conversation around what, like, the trans issues that she's bringing up, even if it's, like, kind of misguided. But it's like, where the fuck is she?
Yeah. And also, I thought it was really exploitative. The last, like, pride, whenever Lisa, like, made her, like, tell her story in front of, like, 10,000 people.
Yeah.
As, like, this is our new, like, trans member of staff. Mm-hmm. And it
She's
was
like,
just
now
like,
there you go.
Yeah. I was just like, are you kidding? Like, that's so weirdly exploitative.
Yeah.
And then they're, like, surprised that she's stirring up so much drama. And it's just, like...
And then everyone was like, made such a huge deal. Like every single cast member was like, Billie Lee is amazing. She's so brave. I love her. Like, we're so happy that she's here.
Yeah.
And then like the second that she kind of like
stepped in a line with them,
they're like, actually, it's not what this is about. And like, you really need to check yourself.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's fucked up.
I remember when that whole shift happened where Billie started tweeting and I like went to the Instagram and saw that she like wasn't tagged. Mm-hmm. And while like obviously I thought it was a stretch because I was like, they just aren't your friend.
Yeah.
I felt like there were like much better ways to like incorporate a real conversation about diversity and inclusivity into Vanderpump Rules. And they just like don't care.
No.
They don't care enough. Like they're not going to bring in like a person of color.
Mm-mm.
They're not. They like, I mean, they literally like, I feel like they did Faith so fucking dirty by like having her.
They did.
Fucking audio record, because like I know in my heart, I feel like I know in my heart that out of all of that dark situation, it couldn't have been her like first like human instinct to be like, I should record this. I genuinely feel like production like eggs people into these situations.
Well, I think also like Faith definitely was a side character that was like,
she wanted to be more.
She was motivated to like try and be on the show more.
Yeah.
And the way that this show works is like the only way that you can do that as an outsider is to like fuck your way on.
Yeah.
So she like went through the motions of exactly what was expected in order to get the attention. But then as soon as she got it, it was like, we don't get her side of the story. She's like immediately vilified and like thrown off.
I couldn't. That's one thing that I like, just like did not sit well with me, because I was just like, if Brittany wants to hear about what actually happened and about how many times it happened,
mm-hmm.
you go to the woman in the situation.
Yeah, go to the source and like talk it out.
Yes,
and
because instead, Jax is a historic liar.
Yeah, and then instead of that, we just got like, she's fucking ratchet, like trashy, like blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And then she was off. She never got to say her piece, but I think it worked out well for her because she's like killing it on MTV now. Like, has like a whole career on another network, which is great.
Yeah.
Like, she deserves that. But I was like, this was not right.
Yeah. No. And the whole, I mean, the way it went down wasn't right either. I just like, I don't see the way that she's like performing on MTV and like killing it. Like, I just can't wrap my mind around how it was like her idea to like trap Jax and then like film or audio record like what he said.
Yeah.
I feel like someone definitely was like, maybe you should do this. Maybe it would be good for you to do this in a kind of like Bachelor-esque way, mm-hmm. where they're like, oh, like maybe you should like start beef with this girl because she said like A, B, and C about you.
Yeah. Faith could have been, I wonder if she was like in touch with producers over that period of time, like
I feel like maybe
trying to like maybe text with them or to see about like storylines or something.
Yeah, to be like, hey, look, like this thing with like Jax is happening, like what do you think I can do?
Because producers have the voicemail.
Yeah.
Like it still exists.
Yeah. I would die to hear it.
I would literally pay.
Yeah. And I
would pay.
The fact that I know it's so much worse than what we heard is, like, devastating to me.
Well, we didn't even... I don't think we even heard, like, a snippet of it.
No, we didn't hear any of it.
I think it's, like, so damning that it's just, like... Oof. Sandoval says that 2014 and 2018 are the two best years of his life. The year that he got with Ariana.
Yeah.
And then the year that Tom Tom opened.
That's really ironic considering like they haven't had sex in any of the years in between. Like.
That he's just like celibate.
Yeah.
No wonder he has like such intense energy to be like a great bartender.
Yeah. I just don't understand the relationship.
Ugh.
And that part was like so funny and weird to me.
Yeah.
I need them to break up.
I need them to break up. I need Sandoval. Like, I'm invested in his, like, growth of Tom Tom.
Yeah.
Like, taking it to the next level.
I think Schwartz he could. I think
to
if,
be yeah. outed.
Yes.
As a drug addict.
Yes. And he needs to receive help. And I feel like, I think that honestly, like, not that I'm the big, I think that Sandoval is, like, a bit annoying and pretentious. I do think, however, that Schwartz holds him back.
Yeah.
And he cares so much about his mixology shit.
Mm-hmm.
I love that, like, flashback where Ariana was, like, back in, like, 2010. Like,
And then we were like, broke at Villa Blanca, and it just showed like how amazing Tom Sandoval is.
Yeah, and he has like a scene haircut, and he's like handing like Lisa and Ken like the spicy cocktail, and he's like, "Guys, be careful, it's spicy."
He's passionate.
And then the scene ends, and it was also like in black and white to just like add the effect.
That's when you know it's serious.
Yeah,
and vintage.
Yeah, and Ariana's like kind of in the background with like long curly hair.
Mm-hmm. I like Ariana's like changing looks throughout the year.
Yeah, I like her look right now the best.
Yeah, she's had a real glow up. And it looks good. I feel like her kind of like plastic surgery stuff, whatever was going on, kind of settled in, and it all looks really good now.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
Thank you so much for being my guest today.
Of course. This has been so much fun.
This is so great. A comprehensive discussion.
I love it.
Just what I needed.
This is what I've been waiting for.
Tell all the listeners where they can find you.
You guys can find me on Twitter. My @ is simply @ Helen.
Power move.
I know.
You're like Britney.
I know. Love. I was lucky enough to get that handle. I actually asked for it, so it didn't used to be that. But it is @ Helen, which is H-E-L-E-N. And perfect. You guys can find me there.
Love it. And in Playboy.
Yes. Love. I'm a Playboy columnist. And if you pick up the magazine that's out right now, you can see me naked.
Chic.
Yeah.
Well, you'll have to come back again.
I will.
I would love to have you. Yay. And until next time. Bye.
Bye.
I know I'm feeling, cause I know.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.